Hello and welcome to the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markwitz, and I'm speaking today with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of thejuniorminorjunkie.com. Dave, it's always great having you on the show to discuss the precious metals, to discuss the general markets, to look at what's happening with interest rates and inflation and geopolitics. But this week, let's just really dive into gold, and in particular, the corrective move that it's having being a healthy corrective move. We had talked about this a little bit off mic, but how are you viewing this consolidation and digestion period in the gold price?
Hi, Shad. Thanks a lot for having me on every week as usual. Yeah, it's very encouraging to tell you the truth. You know, seeing the gold price run up so sharply in such a short amount of time, when it went from 1780 to nearly kiss its all-time high in just 6 weeks. That's a $300 move. So, and also the reasons why it went up on, you know, on geopolitical war concerns. So, you know, this consolidation is welcome, but what's even more welcome is the way the shares are acting in relation to the consolidation of the gold price. You know, previously in this past long drawn out 18, 19 month consolidation process, we get a nice move in the gold price, you know, we get a decent move in the shares, and then the shares would come off while the gold price would consolidate, you know, at a higher level, you know, further frustrating, you know, people who invest in this sector. But recently, since the gold price is trying to create a floor $100 higher than where a floor was created at $1,800 for about a year, the mining sector has been showing strong relative strength and weaknesses bought quickly. You saw the GDXJ go up for six consecutive weeks, getting extreme overbought in the short term. And once it did that on Monday of last week, we saw a huge red candle, but it was on lower volume. But right after, this was right leading into the Fed raising interest rates that everybody was expecting. We saw that weakness bought very quickly. What it's created now is this consolidation symmetrical triangle on both the GDX and the GDXJ as weakness continues to be bought, and that's working off the short-term overbought situation. So it looks very bullish now. And if you pull back even farther on the daily charts of the GDX and the GDXJ, it's created a cup and handle pattern along with the gold price. It's shorter term, but from June of last year to March of this year is the cup, and now the handle is this consolidation process that I've talked about over the past few weeks. So that's very bullish for the sector. You know, when you see a major change like that, and the major change is coming from the major change in the Federal Reserve monetary policy. You know, they've finally begun to raise rates after threatening to do so for so long, and it was a measly quarter point, while the inflation rate is almost 8%. And I can tell you after seeing what commodity prices have done ever since the Russian-Ukraine war began, I wouldn't be surprised to see the next tally be over 10%. As a matter of fact, on the very last day of trading in March, in the quarter, we're going to have the PCE statistic come out. You know, and the Federal Reserve, when they announced that their quarter point rate hike, they raised its personal consumption expenditures, that's a PCE, to 4.1% compared to their initial forecast of 2.7% just 4 months ago. And at a year earlier, it was just 1.9%. So these are huge alterations for a very conservative central bank that rarely makes big changes in its forecasts. And at the same time, you've got this rapidly increasing inflation. This is setting the stage for stagflation here. So the gold stocks are really starting to sniff this out.
Yeah, it's a really interesting timing on how this has all come together, because for a while, people just had tunnel vision on the geopolitical situation. But we knew this was coming a year ago, and they've telegraphed to the market that there's going to be a series of rate hikes. Well, we finally have liftoff here. And it's interesting because the yield curve has almost completely flattened. The 10-year today is at 2.37, and the 2 is at 2.16. There's only a 20 bip spread between the 2 and the 10. And a lot of people believe that not only is this stagflationary, but it could almost be recessionary, because if we get to the point where we've got slowing growth with the inflation and the high energy prices and that kind of a backdrop, that is stagflation. But when we see oil prices and gas prices double and almost triple, and when we see the yield curve flatten, if it actually inverts through this rate hiking process that the Fed goes through, I think gold is also sniffing that out, that we actually could have some tough times ahead. And the safe haven appeal has that larger cup and handle with the mini cup and handle all playing into this consolidation we've seen. And I think there's a lot higher to go in gold. What kind of targets do you have for downside if we have just a little further to this correction? And then where are you looking for on the upside, maybe medium term?
Yeah, I mean, if you take a look at where the gold price started to run when the war started, it was around that 1850 level. And once it broke, the catalyst to break the gold price out of the 18-month consolidation over the downtrend line was the war. So you have to take a look at that 1850 level as being very strong support, I think. And there's more support at 1880. But I think the 1900 level is really strong support, you know, so I don't see it going much lower than that. You know, we had it go $5 below 1900 very briefly, right when the Federal Reserve came out and actually raised rates in Powell's speech on Wednesday. But during the following press conference, the gold price continued to go higher towards that 1920 level, which is now support. And it got down below 1920 today, and it's fluctuating between 1900 and 1920. But what I wouldn't be surprised to see is maybe the gold price maybe lose 1900 in the Asian market, because you know what sometimes happens is when you see a major level being breached in the Asian market, it subsequently happens, you know, not too far down the line in the COMEX. So I wouldn't be surprised if it happens in the Asian market, maybe this week. But I think 1880 is pretty strong and 1850 is very strong. So, but keep watching those gold stocks, you know, if those gold stocks can continue to consolidate higher and continue to show this really strong relative strength against the gold price, then they're basically sniffing out that the gold price is going to go a lot higher pretty soon.
Yeah, I think there's a couple bullish factors all kind of stacking on top of each other. You brought up 1920. We did close the weekly above that last week, and we've closed it a couple times. And right now, as we record this, gold is right back above 1921, just barely by a hair, which is that 2011 all-time high, as well as the May of last year point. But you also have the miners diverging. So let's maybe go there next. You've mentioned it already that the miners were kind of bullishly diverging from the metals price and even at some points from the general stock market. We are seeing a little life even further down the food chain than just GDX and GDXJ. But Dave, good call to you. You mentioned that when GDXJ finally pierced the $47 level, you've mentioned it a couple times, that we'd get a little more life in the juniors. And sure enough, as soon as GDXJ got above 47, a lot of the juniors, not all of them, but a lot of them started springing to life. So how are you looking at things now, and what's the next thing you'll be watching for in the miners?
Yeah, it's, you know, we've had consecutive weekly closes above that 47 level. You know, it happened again last week, just barely. But yes, and then right out of the gate this week, you saw a lot of juniors coming off the floor and starting to outperform. So I think that's going to continue to happen going forward. But a lot of the earlier stage juniors have yet to move very much. So that's the last group that'll start to move. But another thing that I've noticed, and that I'm sure a lot of your listeners have as well, is the capital markets have opened up again. We saw some huge financings recently. We've seen a Cisco Development and its sister company, Cisco Mining, in the process of raising over $500 million. The Sabina Gold and Silver Project is in the process of being financed. They announced another $110 million bought deal today. So we're starting to see a lot of these big CapEx projects being financed. So this is basically what I've been concentrating on over the past 6 months, is have a basket of these large projects that are high margin, that I expect that are at or near the finance stage that I expect to be financed very soon, and they're trading, and they were trading, they're very undervalued in relation to the gold price. Now that the gold price has made an $1,800 floor and is in the process of attempting to make a $1,900 floor, so once we have the gold price making, once the market assumes, or not assumes, but once the market begins to price in the gold price having a $2,000 floor, then you're really going to start to see these juniors move. So I think the window is beginning to close on getting in to a lot of these juniors at lower risk entry points.
Well, does it give you solace, or do you look for institutional investors getting positioned in these? Some of them are coming in through these capital raises. A lot of people would call that the smart money getting positioned. So when you see that, and most of us have already been getting positioned for a while, but you know, if you're talking to investors that are maybe on the fence right now, or maybe they're in partial cash positions, or maybe there's some people listening that had trimmed some winners in the past and have just been a little nervous of the markets, you know, what would your message be to them when we're starting to see these institutional funds take these big financings, get their stake in place, or some of the larger companies getting their strategic stakes in place? You know, how much longer do you think investors would have before things start running a bit too fast, too furious?
Well, if we take a look at the past, not very much more time, to tell you the truth. I mean, you know, when this sector starts to move and these juniors start to take off, you don't want to be in the position where you have to chase them, because it's always, you know, it's always makes me uncomfortable if I've watched a company for a long time and I missed it, meaning it started to move before I wanted to get in. A lot of times I'll just say, you know, c'est la vie. There's always another train that is yet to leave the station. So that's just my personal philosophy. You know, I'm a U.S. investor and I run a newsletter. So, you know, I don't like to trade very often. I like to do tons of research and actually take a position maybe much sooner than I should, because A, I want my subscribers to be able to get into that position, and B, I want to be holding that position for longer than a year when I need to take profits, because capital gains in the U.S. for long-term capital gains are taxed at 15%, and shorter-term capital gains are taxed at 28%. So I have all these things to consider before I get into something. You know, it's not just me getting into something. It's, you know, it's my 350, 400 subscribers, however many I have at the time that I'm considering getting into it, that I have to consider.
Well, Dave, that's a great point. And people that are interested in Dave's thoughts should definitely check out the Junior Miner Junkie. We'll have a link to that down below this interview. But just one more, or maybe two more questions that come to mind is, if the gold price is going to get revalued, let's say closer to $2,000, will we start seeing more movement and revaluations in the development stage companies or advanced explorers that have ounces in the ground, they have a resource estimate, and maybe they've done their first preliminary economic assessment, or maybe they're working on their pre-feasibility study, and they're using a lot lower gold prices of sometimes 13 and 1400, but more often now we're seeing 1500 or 1600. Do you think there's going to be a re-rating higher when people finally realize this gold price is going to stay way above 1500 or 1600? Will these things get re-rated higher on higher metal sensitivity prices?
I think it's already started, Chad. It's already started in a few of the companies that I've accumulated already, but I think it'll start to happen more in the higher optionality plays. You know, the companies that need $1,700 or $1,800 gold for their projects to be economic. You know, because there's a lot of these companies have yet to move yet, but I see some of them start to move. So, like I said, you want to make sure to get into these things early. And another thing, I know we've talked about this before, but I really want to make this point again, is if you've done your research and you're already, you know, positioned where you want to be, but your stocks haven't moved yet. The companies that you expected to move soon have yet to move. You know, a big mistake a lot of people make, and I've made this in the past, you know, you know, because I've been in this sector for 20 years. When I first started to get into it, you know, I thought I did all the right things. You know, I got all the right companies, and some of the companies that I get into hadn't moved yet. So, well, you know what? I'm going to sell. I was wrong. I'm gonna sell this stock and get into this one over here because it's already started to take off. Well, that was a huge mistake, because it turned out I was right, and that stock did move much higher later. And you know, the stock that I got into, sure, I made money on it, but I didn't make nearly as much as I would have if I would have stuck to my gun. So basically, what I'm saying is, you know, believe in yourself, believe in the research that you have done, or the newsletter writer that you're following, the research that he's done, and you've gotten in, you know, you positioned yourself basically along with him. And because if you end up selling something too soon and then you watch it take off later, you know, it's very frustrating. But it is a lesson that I learned early on, and I like to pass it on to others.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that cogent advice, Dave. And just one more question before we wrap up, and that is, with us looking for deals and with investors and retail investors and even institutional investors looking to get in at good valuations, there's one other group that's also looking, and that's the bigger producers. So are there any positions that you're getting into with the thesis that, you know, this could actually be a great takeover target, and you'd like the takeover to be the liquidity event? Because I would imagine with their prices being higher than the juniors, we may start seeing some more M&A. So what's your thoughts on M&A, and are you positioning companies just for the takeover?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have a basket of companies that, you know, I put my CEO hat on while I was researching them. You know, if I was a CEO, what would I be looking for? You know, what are all the boxes that these developers, these later stage developers, need to tick for these juniors to be stronger? And some of them have already started to move. So I do expect M&A to start picking up. You know, maybe once the gold price has a solid $2,000 floor. We had one deal announced recently, was Mag Silver taking over Gatling Exploration. And then right before that, I was involved in one where Australian miner Perseus Mining took over Orca Gold, which is a position I had accumulated, my subscribers and I had accumulated previously in hopes of a takeout. But, you know, in truth, we were hoping that it would be taken out later to get a higher premium, but that's okay. I was able to sell the stock, you know, bank the profit, and then put the proceeds into another junior that I think is very undervalued, and that is a very strong takeover candidate.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to see more of it for sure. And that's kind of the point I was making, is that we're not the only ones looking for deals. These big companies want to grab them before they take off too. So right. We may start seeing the popcorn kernels pop and a big bag of salty popcorn for people that missed the ride and didn't get positioned in time. But hey, Dave, it's always great getting your thoughts on the precious metals. I think there are some encouraging points you laid out on not just the metals price consolidation, but also in the mining divergence and what we're seeing in GDX, GDXJ, and even in the junior. So we'll keep following along and looking forward to our conversation next week to see how things develop.
I look forward to it, Chad. Always great to talk to you.